Praise be to God. It's a wonderful, rainy, gloomy Wednesday to actually gather together and remember everything God has done for us. The topic I'll be speaking about today is one of the many names of God, which is Jehovah Jireh. And as I was studying for something which we actually know the name, we sing about it. We sing songs which mention the name Jehovah Jireh. We know what it means, but what it truly means for us. And I've learned quite a few things about this name and everything in Scripture which points to God's provision as I prepared for this. So I'm truly thankful to God that He gave me gave a chance for me to actually go through scriptures and study this the scripture. So, as we all know, Genesis chapter 22 is where the word Jehovah Jireh, the name Abraham names that place where God provided a ram for the sacrifice instead of his son. We all know this story very well, but I wanted to start off with an illustration which my dad told me like many years ago. It was about there was this evangelist in England called George Mueller, and he used to run many orphanages for all the destitute children who were in that area. And he was well known for being completely reliant on God for every single thing. In fact, one of the first things he did when he started that ministry was he previously the ministers used to get a salary. They used to depend on a fixed income to meet their daily needs, to meet the needs of the ministry as well. But this man, he refused that. He said, "I'm going to totally depend on God." And he used to depend on anything which was given out of free will, not a fixed salary. And that was something which really struck with me, because when I was a kid, I couldn't believe like people would literally look after other people depending on something which is fully based on faith. So there was an incident where while he was at this orphanage, and it had like many hundreds of children, and they were all gathered around the table looking for dinner. I think it was dinner or lunch, I don't remember, but he brought all the children there, and they had nothing. He had zero money with him at that time, and they had no food. He gathered all the children together, and this is how much faith he had in God's provision, that he started to pray for the food. And as he was praying for the food, there was a baker who couldn't sleep the night before, because God put on his mind that you have to deliver bread to this orphanage in the morning. So sure enough, at the right time, the baker came as soon as they were done praying with the bread for all the children. And there was a milkman whose cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. He was not planning on coming there, but his cart broke down right in front of the orphanage in time for the children to have their meal. It shows that God's provision is something which we cannot imagine. It's not something which God tells us in advance that on this date, on this time, I'm going to give you so and so things. And as we go through this passage, we'll see how Abraham and a few other people of faith were recipients of God's provision, and we'll apply that to our own lives, and we'll hopefully remember all the times God took us out of places where we absolutely had no hope, because He is the God who provides. There's no other person who can claim that. God is a faithful provider. So that's the origin of this scripture. What does this name actually mean? So the name is consists of two words. It's Jehovah and Jireh. Jehovah is the Latinized form of Yahweh. So which is a proper name for God in the Hebrew text, and There's no such word for J, so they say Yahweh, we say Jehovah, and the Hebrew root Yireh is traditionally interpreted as to provide or to see. So there are certain translations where it says God sees and then provides. So that's what the name actually means when Abraham named that place, that mountain, Jehovah Jireh. And throughout scriptures, there are many more examples of how God provides for us, but we'll go through a few of them this evening. The first thing is, what does God actually provide? It's not just so when we think of provision, usually we always think, sometimes we think of physical needs. It's usually God would provide me my food for the day. He would provide me a good job, a spouse, kids, anything which we usually depend on God for. But there are many other needs which sometimes we don't even give God credit for that God provides. So the first thing is, as we all know, physical needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33 says, shows how God provides for our physical needs. The scripture gives us many instances of that. God tells us to look at the sparrows, look at other instances of God providing for our physical needs. Then there are certain spiritual needs, which is mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and I'll read that quick, but we all know this verse really well. We actually most of us have memorized it, and it says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And later, as we go through a few more passages, we'll look at what this verse actually means and in what context was it actually given. Psalms 32, verse 8. I'll read that as well real quick. Psalms 32, verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Instructions and counsel are something which God provides for us. It's not something which a lot of us actually pray for, but in every single day, there are times when we as believers, we go to our workplaces, we live in our neighborhoods, we meet different kinds of people. Some people might not even know God. What words do we use? What should we say? Even if people don't ask us a question, usually people are looking at our own lives and the way we conduct ourselves in any circumstance. God provides us guidance, and even in scriptures, it's shown in the New Testament that God told disciples that wherever you go, I'm gonna you will get the words to speak. You don't need to memorize certain texts like the Pharisees used to do. You don't need to be well versed in a lot of things, but God provides us the right people, the right words to say. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says that God provides us strength in times of trouble. We all have our own struggles. We know it well. And we know that there are the only strength sometimes which you could get is God. We cannot depend on other humans all the time for comfort. God gives us peace. It's mentioned in John chapter 14, verse 27. In the interest of time, I'm going to go really quick through these. James 1, verse 5 says, God gives us wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 shows how God gives us forgiveness and salvation. John 3, 16, we know this really well. God gives us eternal life. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, God gives us comfort in our times of sorrow. There are many other provisions which are listed in the Bible, which I have not put on these slides. I'll put these slides later, which I'll share it so that we can go through this these passages in our own time. But these are things when and I as I was going through these scriptures, I was literally thanking God for a lot of things which I never thanked God for. There are times when we depend on God for some things like wisdom or peace. We thank God for a few things, and sometimes when you get physical, God satisfies our physical needs. Sometimes we forget to thank God after that. But then there are a lot of other things. And we see this throughout scriptures that God provides for our physical needs. Now, for our spiritual needs, for he gives us guidance. He gives us comfort. Now, who does God provide through? We see many instances of this where God provides through the hand of man. We look at the life of Joseph. We look at Joseph's brothers and Joseph's family. God put Joseph in Egypt at the right time that he could provide for them in the time of famine. God provided for Joseph. He provided Pharaoh. So sometimes God provides for us through unconventional means. He put Joseph in Pharaoh's palace at the right time so that he could be the overseer, so that he could provide for the nation of Israel in their time of need. And there are times when we have that experience as well. Like, we are provided through, not from, we are provided through our employers. We get a paycheck. We get income from other places. We are provided for other needs through other sources. But the source where all the provision comes from is always God. But sometimes we tend to forget that. And the nation of Israel had gotten too comfortable while they were in the land of Egypt. They got too comfortable depending on Pharaoh, for depending on food, depending on everything they needed from the Egyptians. And what does God do? God brings them out of the land of Egypt. And how does he feed them? He doesn't feed them through certain other people. Sometimes God feeds us through his own hand. He provided manna in the desert, where they got food every day, there was no tribe which came to them and gave them food. It was through God's own hands. And we see that in the example of Elijah. He was fed by a raven, but the provision always comes from God. And there are times when God's sometimes really good at reminding us where the true source actually is. And when we get God's provision, it's not it's just enough. So in the example of the Israelites, and while they were getting manna, God gave them exactly enough that they could eat for that day and be full. He didn't give them more. He didn't give them less. So there were certain families which had more people. So the more people you had, the more manna you got. So there are times when we sometimes look at other people and other people's gifts and other people's provisions, and we compare ourselves and say, well, they got more. At least I do that sometimes. But God gives us what we need at that time. He doesn't give it too early. He doesn't give it to us too late. God's, and we'll go through this as well, that God's timing is so perfect that sometimes we cannot even fathom. We can't imagine. While God gives us provisions, while we look at the book of Genesis and we look at how this name, Jehovah Jireh, came to be, we'll spend like a few minutes looking at what that context was. And we know what this passage is. Genesis chapter 22, and I'll read verse 1 real quick. It says, "Sometime later God tested Abraham, and he said to him, 'Abraham,' and he replied, 'Here I am.'" And here we see that certain commentaries say, like, it's about like 25 years after God initially promised that Abraham had Isaac, and Abraham was tested. And it says, God tests Abraham. It's clearly written in verse 1. God tested Abraham, and he says, "Abraham," and here we see Abraham says, "Here I am." And God says, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, I'll show you." And early morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut enough wood for the offering, he set out for the place God told him about. Here we see Abraham, like at least scripture doesn't mention Abraham arguing with God. We see Abraham's faith. God was testing. God didn't want Isaac as a sacrifice. That was not something God desired. And we see in much after this in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1 through 5, God forbids the sacrifice of other humans. And this contradicts what God was actually saying in Leviticus, that God says, take your son, and it says, take your son, your only son, whom you love. And this phrase, whom you love, happens once more later in this passage. God always addresses the thing he's testing Abraham on. He's very clear. He's not testing Abraham on something he has mixed feelings for. The son whom he truly loves, the son he was waiting for, the son God promised to him. In Genesis chapter 17, we see that God is very clear. He says that through Isaac, you'll have the whole nation. It says the word Isaac. So God was very clear. And here God is telling Abraham, it sounds very contradictory. It sounds very different that God would tell Abraham, give him a promise, and then tell him to go sacrifice his son. But here we see the only thing which we see recorded of Abraham speaking to God, and it happens twice in this chapter. Abraham just says, here I am. And this is an incredible, incredible test of faith, which I don't know how some of us would fare. If God takes our Isaac, like we have Isaacs in our lives. Some of us have multiple Isaacs in our life. And God sometimes tests us. And God never tempts us. He sometimes tests us. And he asks us to sacrifice. And here we see a key phrase which I wanted to mention in verse 4 is Abraham looked up on the third day. It took him 3 days to get there. So there are certain places where it says like Abraham traveled like 50 or 60 miles to get to the region of Moriah. It doesn't say Mount Moriah. It says in the region of Moriah to a place that I will tell you about. And it's Abraham tells the servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. It says, we will worship and then we will come back to you. We see an incredible statement of faith over here. Abraham says, we both will come back. And what does Abraham mean when it says, we will worship? God told Abraham, go to the mountain of Moriah, sacrifice your only son, whom you love, on a mountain, I'll show you. So, what does worship mean over here? And this is something which really touched me while I was reading this. There are a lot of times when we, being believers for a very long time, we just assume worship with something we come here on Sunday to do. We just say a prayer, sing certain worship songs, but it has incredible significance. God is asking us to sacrifice something. So that's worship. There can't be any worship with sacrifice. Anybody could read hymn 285. Anybody could do that. But without sacrifice, without us sacrificing something, it truly doesn't mean anything. And here we see what Abraham says. Abraham just says, here I am. I'm ready. I'm available. Tell me what to do. We see in Hebrews, we see in Hebrews chapter 11 that we see that incredible statement of faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Abraham's faith is truly remarkable here. He said that even though I have to sacrifice my son, God can bring him back from the dead, because he truly believed that God would never go back on his promises. If God said through Isaac, your nation will be blessed, it would truly happen. And if God said, you need to obey me, you need to sacrifice that thing which you love, I really need to do it. because I'm doing it for the Lord. And here we see that he took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And we know this passage really well. We see that Abraham put that wood on Isaac, and he tells him to carry it. This is foreshadowing, like the scripture in John chapter 5, verse 45 and 47, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, if you truly believe what Moses told you, you would know that I'm the Messiah. That's what he's essentially saying through that passage. The Pharisees were people who had memorized scriptures. They had memorized the Torah. And how did they not know that Jesus was the Messiah? Like, there's no mention of the word Jesus. There's no mention of Jesus in the books of Moses. But we see that Jesus tells them that God is painting a picture here. God is telling what to expect. It's incredible foreshadowing that he's telling that the same way that the wood was placed on Isaac, there was the cross, the wooden cross placed on Jesus Christ. And as Isaac was walking up the mountain, we see incredible resemblances here, between Isaac and the Lord Jesus Christ. But coming back to how God provides the sacrifice, we see God's timing. God's timing was perfect, because when they go up that mountain, Abraham doesn't see the ram initially. Abraham only sees the ram after he lifts the knife. He binds his son over there on the altar, and he lifts the knife, and that's when the angel of the Lord comes and stops him. And then he sees the ram. So while Abraham and Isaac were walking up the mountain, we see that there was a ram walking up the mountain as well. And we see God's provision all the way through there, throughout the scripture, to the New Testament. There are a few examples here which we'll not go into in the interest of time, but we see Abraham and Sarah, God provided a son to them in due time. We see Joseph, we heard about Joseph in Egypt. We hear about the Exodus of the Israelites. We see about Ruth gleaning wheat. If Boaz was not there in that field at the right time, he would never have met Ruth. But through Ruth and through Boaz, through Obed, through Jesse, through David, we see God's provision all the way to Jesus Christ, all the way to Jesus' birth, all the way through Jesus' ministry. And even after that, we see throughout the Acts of the Apostles, like Peter was put in prison. God rescued him at the right time. He doesn't open the doors for the apostle before, at the right time, so that people could be saved. Everything God does for us, it has a purpose, but sometimes it doesn't make sense. When God told Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac, it did not make sense. I read this quote by Dr. Tony Evans, who said that when something doesn't make sense, it means that God is showing us something which we haven't seen before. It shows that God is teaching us something new. And there are some things which anytime we are tested in our lives, we need to remember this. Through all the examples we have in scripture, Abraham did not have the written scripture like we do. But we see his faith over here. We see God's provision, how God provided the ram. We see the lamb which God provided for us. Through him, we have everything we need. Through him, we are here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, no eyes have seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived all the incredible things God has prepared. He has already prepared for us. That's an incredible verse to encourage us, that we have not, God doesn't give us a certain text which says, on this date, on the 24th of January, I'm going to test you, I'm going to provide certain things to you. No. That's how we grow in faith. It's like the metal being cast in the fire. It's supposed to destroy it, but it doesn't. It just makes it stronger. And God's provision for us is something which we truly, truly need to be thankful for. And the last thing I wanted to share is that Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And this is an incredible scripture, but when we look at why Paul actually said that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, it says that it shows how the Philippians were actually really faithful in the matter of giving. God provides not just in a matter of, there's no random provision by God. It's all, there's God's perfect timing, which he plans, and he knows what we need. He knows what we do with what he has provided for us. We read about the three different servants in the gospel. Some people are faithful, some people are not. God's provision is something which we often take for granted. I know I have sometimes in my life that certain gifts which we have, certain provisions which we have to use for other people. And God needs us to use it for his glory. God gives us wisdom, he gives us peace, he gives us knowledge and understanding. And most important thing, he gave us his only begotten son. It was not something which God started planning after looking at our lives. He had prepared. He had arranged for that lamb to go on that mountain. And we see in scriptures that mountain was very close to, or probably on the same spot, since it doesn't say Mount Moriah, it's probably the same spot as Golgotha. But there's no hard evidence for that. But it says that God draws incredible parallels. These are all scriptures which we can look at, and we can look at our own lives and see all the provisions God has done for us and how we can be thankful. And that was the first verse of what we sang in hymn 285. Who can tell how much we owe him? Let us gladly render to him all we are and have. Everything which we have, everything which we are, let us render to God and let us worship him and continue to worship him for through sacrifice and be thankful to him for all the provisions he has given to us in our lives. May his name be glorified. Shall we pray? Our Father God, we thank you so much for everything you have given us, Lord. There are many things in our